coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast at the Bermuda Championship. I delivered a Halloween trick or treat winner. I hope you liked it out there. And we had some crazy low scoring on the DP World Tour, plus the Live Tour finale match play style brought a very predictable headline and the future of the tour as well. Plus, we're tuned into ghost tours and Christmas movies. This week's guests are official sign that the holidays are here. That's right. Our favorite friend of the show, Brandy Malloy, is back for all the holiday food talk, tips, trends, and more. And it's my scary burger review and an upcoming trip for Mike when we always end with food, all of it brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. We're here. It's November. As everybody listens, Mike, the Christmas shopping, holiday shopping season has fully commenced. Desert Fox Golf is your go-to option. They have not one, not two, but several different stocking stuffer and great gift ideas for the golfer in your life. I know what you're thinking. It's a little early. No, it's not. Now is the exact time to get a great deal before the madness of Black Friday and the holiday season. So go to desertfoxgolf.com for the golfer in your life. Use promo code COURSEOFLIFE. Get 10% off and start the shopping now. Get them a phone caddy, a swing aid tumbler, or a golf accessory, and they will love it. Again, desertfoxgolf.com, promo code Course of Life. Check them out today.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Tee Up Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, it was the Butterfield Bermuda Championship in Southampton, Bermuda, of
course.
Beautiful place. And Seamus Power, one of your picks, and Thomas Dietry, also one of your picks, finished 1 and 2, and you just cashed in. You just kind of took that money and walked straight to the bank.
Yeah, it's a me bragging moment right now for the podcast and my Twitter and runyourpool.com picks. I was all over Seamus Power from the beginning. Title image on my preview this week. Top pick, number one guy, one of the favorites in the field. He's been very consistent, not only recently, but played well in this event in 2021. And the Irishman was destined indeed for win number two, and he got it in style. Bit of a collapse by Ben Griffin, but my guy Power was there to pick up the pieces. I not only had him, but Dietry. I had Patrick Rogers in third. I had all my picks in the top 35. I don't know why, but for some reason, the stars aligned and everything I said happened at the Butterfield Bermuda Championship.
I mean, basically what this is that everyone should be reading your Run Your Pool article every week, because at least one of them, whether it's the golf one, the college football one, or the NFL one, because in one of them every week, you get it right.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That's a nice way to hedge our bets. In at least one of my articles, there will be success each week. That's a comfortable stance that I can get behind as well.
Yeah. Also worth shouting out other past guests from the show who were able to play in this week's tournament down in Bermuda. Dylan Wu, he made the cut, finished in the top 40. Great finish for him. Willie Mack, though, not as weak.
No, he did miss the cut. He made it through the pre-qualifier and the whole deal to get into the field. So shout out to him for going and making the trip to get that grind done and get himself in the field. But he did slam the trunk. You're right. Dylan Wu did make the cut, had one tough round, but overall a decent day and solid week for the status. And again, when you get late in the year, you know these tournaments don't necessarily have all the panache that maybe the spring or summertime majors do, but there's a lot of guys that are playing for points and careers and starts and opportunities and moving their status up. So there's a couple more starts on the PGA Tour for it to happen, but another fun week in the books in Bermuda. And again, shout out to Seamus Power for getting it done for me.
Yeah, I have a question for you about these fall events. We know the schedule is going to be changing next year anyway and how this happens, but the big names don't come out here and play during this time of year. They kind of take the season off and kind of enjoy a little R&R. And how do you make more people that aren't golf nerds really want to watch these? Do you lay into the feel-good stories of the guys out there that are grinding, or do we just admit that no one's really going to watch this beyond the nerds? It's football season. That's what people are watching on Sundays, and we kind of move on from it.
It's a lot of that latter, because I am that stereotypical football fan, to where my golf watching drops off. You know, I'd say in half. It gets cut in half when football season starts. And I'm very willfully and openly admitting that, but I'm still a golf watcher through and through every week. And I think the real answer, Mike, with these kind of second tier events in the years forward and the live pressure is making that happen is formats. We really got to mix up and try a whole boatload of new formats and go in every direction and bring different tours across to each other and bring collaborations between golfers in different formats for playing the game outside of the traditional old school 72 hole stroke play. I think that's the real answer for these second tier tournaments in the future.
I think, do we need team golf during this time of year? Do we need something like that?
Imagine team golf on Mayakoba this week in Mexico. I mean, what a treat that would be in November. That would definitely get more of my eyeballs than a standard event would during football season. That's for sure. Yeah,
I think it would. We'll talk more about Mayakoba in a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the DP World Tour because, you know, Jordan Smith, not to be confused with the more popular Jordan.
They look so similar on the leaderboard. Jordan Smith, yeah. Jordan Spieth, Jordan Spieth, Jordan Smith. They're basically one and the same.
I will say that I don't think Jordan Spieth has ever done a 30 under par to win a tournament.
I don't think he has. We can check the record books, but I think you're right on that one. That's a safe bet. Yeah. That's what 30 under, Mike.
Yeah.
Wow. For four rounds.
Two 62s.
Okay. Damn.
A 63 and a 67 to round out for Jordan Smith to win the Portugal Masters. Three shots clear of Gavin Green.
Easy so, W right there. 30 under par. I mean, that's when you know you have it flowing. It's got to be such a letdown to just like play any other golf course in the world the week after that. If you're Jordan Smith, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, you're on fire and you played amazing golf and you won. But like, boy, it's just really never going to be that easy again, is it, for him? It never will. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So 30 under par to win out there in Portugal.
Nice.
The LPGA was idle this week. They'll be in Japan next week before coming back to Florida to finish out the season and for two straight weeks. LIV Golf was in Florida this week, and they were at Trump Doral. And there were no surprises at all, including the fact that nobody watched this on YouTube. So,
you know. Oh, and your double shocker, I know, because I know you were glued in all weekend. The Four Aces won. I know that blows your mind. They won.
I don't even know if golf nerds are watching this anymore. I mean, do we care?
I personally had stopped tuning in the last three events. I essentially am doing what's called a Twitter watch with the LIV Tour now.
Yeah,
I'm getting the video highlights and content and following social media content that's there that I need that doesn't need require me to tune into the stream on a daily basis. So I'm basically Twitter watching the LIV Tour at this point. And that's got to be the case that's proving out across the world of sports and golf because, well, you saw some numbers about like the just kind of the disintegration of the fans from tournament one to where we are now and at the end of season one here.
Pretty much this weekend was the lowest watched live YouTube stream of all the tournaments, I believe, is what I saw. So that's like not really surprising. I think you're the kind of, oh, cool, there's something new and different out there feel that maybe some people had is worn off and they've realized there's been no real drama or anything. And it's just, you know, Four Aces and DJ winning every week. And they were
lifting the trophy. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, we don't need to see that every week. So we're going to go watch something else.
You mean it's predictable because it's the same golfers over and over and over again? Is that, that's predictable to you?
I mean, to me, it's like, it really kind of is. Like we're, you know, I think that's part of it. Like the field is the same every week. So it's not, in golf, I think you're used to getting a guy who you never heard of jump to the top of the leaderboard and maybe be able to beat down a Rory McIlroy or Jordan Spieth or something like that and play an amazing week. And you don't see that now in this. So
Those rating numbers are very telling, though, from event one to the last event of season one. And really to encapsulate it, I'm not really doing a direct comparison here because I know LIV has the funds and resources to keep this thing going for maybe a scary amount of time. But in terms of immediate eyeballs and interest in the sports world, very comparable to what we've seen from rival football leagues that have tried to rival the NFL, you know, leagues like the XFL or the USFL that they've come out. The AFL, for instance, they come out. There was intrigue in the first few weeks. There were eyeballs, there were viewers. They grabbed headlines initially, but as time wore off, people realized the product was inferior. They went back to the product they know and love, which is the NFL, or the PGA Tour in this analogy, in this case. And I think we're seeing a little bit of that comparatively with eyeballs. So what we'll be watching here in the next 3 to 6 months is what is LIV Golf going to do to change that? Because that's not a good pattern for them.
I think the difference here, though, between those kind of football leagues and this is that those leagues had limited money and resources.
Exactly.
Whereas the Saudis are just pumping cash. They don't care what happens to that money. They're not looking for an ROI. They just want to do something crazy. So that's the difference here. This is just going to stick
back to that beginning conversation of what are they really after?
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe that answer gets a little bit more defined in the months to come, but that's a wrap on LIV Golf season one.
Yep. I don't know if you saw too, there was a big announcement from the RNA and the Open this weekend that they pretty much said they're not going to ban LIV golfers from playing in the Open, that they are an Open championship and they will allow anyone to play and qualify. They didn't exactly say anything else beyond that. All the LIV people are like, oh my God, they're going to let LIV play. But at the same time, it's like, if they though still don't give LIV OWGR points, it doesn't really matter. These guys they're going to have to play in the Monday Qs.
Right. And the only way they're hanging on to a thread to get into the Open is if A, they finished, top 10 or 15 last year, or if they're an Open champion. So yes, Phil Mickelson now can treat the Open Championship like his Super Bowl. He's an Open Championship. He can play there every year for life. So yes, in theory, Phil Mickelson could finish in the top 5 in the Open and get back all sorts of status into events that he may have previously been. Yes, there is a world where that's possible.
And
we'll see how that plays out though.
The Open president did say he's looking forward to seeing Cam Smith play on the 9:20 Thursday tee time. So, this is like, okay.
I think there'll be a few people there on the first tee to watch.
There probably will be. So
that's an interesting storyline. The defending champion as well.
They said they're going to announce more come January. So we'll have more come January. No, maybe we'll finally have a ruling from the World Golf Rankings too on what they're doing on there. Yeah. For now, though, let's look ahead to Mayakoba this weekend, the Worldwide Technology Championship at Mayakoba.
Beautiful. What a beautiful place.
El Camaleon Golf Course.
Have you been to Cancun, Mike, ever?
I have never been to Mexico.
Oh, it's great. So I've done one Cabo trip and two Cancun trips. And basically you get off at the Cancun airport and there's this one highway you just take all the way down. And everything on the left side is just a beautiful resort, all inclusive everything, beachside, golf, clear blue water. And I've been to a couple of those different resorts outside of Cancun. I haven't been to Mayakoba personally, but it's one of those on that long row. And if and if you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's quite a spectacle. One of the more unique golf venues the PGA Tour gets to in the calendar.
Yep. And Victor Hovland is going to be there in an attempt to do what Steve Stricker has done, which is win the same event 3 years in a row.
Nice callback. I was wondering, you were a step ahead of me there. I was going to ask if there were any three-peats on our radar or our memory, and there it is, Steve Stricker. What was that, John Deere, probably?
It was John Deere. Do you know the years? Now there's the real challenge. Do you know the years he did it?
I'll give a guess.
Okay.
Oh, man, I'm going to date myself. I'm going to go, 03, 04, 05?
No.
No, terribly off.
09, 10, and 11.
Wow. Okay.
So, but I mean, this is actually going to be a pretty good field. We're recording on a Monday afternoon. If everyone still shows up, Colin Morikawa, Scottie Scheffler. We're also looking at maybe Billy Horschel and Justin Rose, Tony Finau. So we're looking like we could have a pretty good field here.
I'm betting on Taylor Montgomery to finish in the top 20 again, because basically paying my bills right now, in case you don't know. So
easy money.
That's my new form of economy for anyone out there who's interested. You just place a top 20 bet on Taylor Montgomery. That's really all you do. And you make money every week. It's fascinating. But he'll be part of my runyourpool.com preview and card. Check out the full betting preview there. It's a fun little tournament, like I said. And the quirky little feature, I got to shout out, Mike, in the middle of the seventh fairway, you may remember this, they have the cave bunker in the middle of the fairway. Yes. So there's like basically a bunker in the middle of the fairway that just turns into like an old cenote style cave. And they just left it right in the middle of the course. Well, one of the coolest design features maybe in the world.
It really is. It's pretty good. Pretty good. Basically makes the pot bunkers for the British Open look like.
Yeah, exactly. Makes them look tiny.
Day at the beach. Day at the beach. So there you go. Well, full picks will be on. You'll have your Run Your Pool article up probably really about the time you're listening to this podcast. It'll be up.
Yep.
And full picks up on Twitter. He's Course of Life One on Twitter. I'll be honest. I'm probably not going to make picks again this week because I just continue to be nonstop. I just have no time to breathe. I literally don't breathe anymore, Alex. Literally.
Yeah, we're going to get to your schedule a little later. It sounds pretty busy coming up here.
Yep. For now, let's switch over to Tuned In and share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. Again, we're recording on Monday, Halloween. So this weekend, my bakery where I work during the day hosted a Halloween party.
Oh, and isn't that nice?
Did a private charter of a Savannah ghost tour. Which is something that they do here in Savannah, because Savannah is considered one of the most haunted cities in America, maybe even more so than New Orleans.
I was just going to say, I know you had a trip coming up there. I always heard New Orleans was haunted in that aspect, but Savannah's big on the ghost tours too. Where do they take you anyway?
So it kind of took us around town a little bit. It was an interesting tour. They were trying to share a lot of different ghost stories. Kind of, you get on a trolley, you kind of drive around. It got out at one point and walked through an old house. Out another point and they
any
did
creepy
like
stuff in the house?
No, not really. Okay. I mean, they shared ghost stories about how a lot of the wives of the guy who owned it died. Like three of them died in the house.
Pure coincidence, right?
So yeah, I know, right? So but it was really interesting. It was first time I've done a real ghost tour here in Savannah. And just there is a lot of stories that make you kind of wonder. Why there were so many people dying here.
Cue spooky, eerie music in the background. That. Savannah ghost tour. Nice. Well, I'm flipping the page since we are in November now to the holidays. And it's already been flipped here in my household. It began all too early, like it does every year, early on Friday, October 22nd, as a matter of fact. We are already full into the Hallmark Christmas movie watching season. They've begun Fast and Furious 24/7. And a plug to former guest Ryan Rotman. He's going to have a Hallmark Christmas movie of his own on Thanksgiving night, My Southern Christmas as well, too. Ooh. So as far as we're concerned here, it's been Christmas already for a week and a half. How do you feel about that?
Who put it on? What did you put it on, or did the wife?
It's the wife. Yeah, okay. It's relentless. And the only thing saving me right now is Michael Myers this week. But it's going to be all Christmas for the next 60 days from here on.
Yeah. There you go. Nonstop. Well, let's get into this week's guest, because it is the holiday season, which means it's that time. For the third straight year, we're bringing on Brandy Malloy. She's going to talk holiday food talk with you, holiday trends, tips, all that fun stuff, kind of get us really knee deep into the holiday season, because it's here.
Yeah, it's basically a sign of the times. Like I said, the leaves are changing, temperatures dropping. Not so much where you and I are, but for everyone up north there. It's time for holiday season talk, and Brandy Malloy is the expert and the trendsetter on all things food trends. She's great with her tips on Instagram and social, and she has a really cool partnership with World Market that she talks about too. Just getting us excited. You get all the prep for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and what to do with that leftover Halloween candy that you're staring at right now too. It's all coming your way now.
We'll have that interview in just a moment, but first let's talk about Tee Up Golf. They are the official golf apparel brand of Course of Life. They make really sharp joggers that I have continually sung praises of, which is just hilarious. But Alex, you, I know, beat me to the course with them.
I did. I golfed with them for the first time. And this was interesting because I desperately wanted to say that you were over-exaggerating things and just say, yeah, you know, they're all right, you know, they're nice pants, but I mean, this is, you know, they're not actually functional outside the golf. Oh no, they are. These are the real deal. These pants are extremely comfortable. So check out Tee Up Golf and the joggers and the variety wear that they have, because we're fans of them as well too. So check out Tee Up Golf, teeupstore.com, promo code COL15, and have that jogger experience just like we did. Next up, it's the official sign that the holidays are here. Our favorite food, lifestyle, and parenting expert is back for the third straight year to catch us up on everything she's got going on with her life, her family, and of course, all the yummy food content. It's Brandy Malloy joining us on The Course of Life. Brandy, how are you?
I'm good. Has it really been 3 years?
It has. Jeez. Yes, we got ourselves a little bit of a streak going now. It's three in a row.
You know you're getting old when you say, wow, time flies. But man, can't believe it's been 3 years. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Yeah. And here we are a year later talking about how fast things moving with life. We'll get to all that with you. What's the update with yourself, your husband, Mr. A? I love his meals and his cooking. I have to say that, of course, every time you hop on. And the kiddos, how's life in SoCal for you right now?
I mean, it couldn't be better. I'm very blessed, feel very grateful to have two healthy kiddos that are both in school now. So my son goes to preschool 3 days a week. My daughter is in kindergarten. I love it. You know, it's very bittersweet because she's growing up so fast, but it's been fun to see her kind of come into her own and watch her personality develop. And my husband and I are really good at tag teaming parenting. So the other day I had a meeting for church, but my son wasn't feeling well. He even said, like, I want to see my doctor. I want to go to see Dr. Miller. And so my husband, you know, without a hesitation, grabbed him, took him to urgent care, found out he had double ear infection.
Of course.
And then my daughter came and had to sit through our meeting. And I was like, you know what? That is so great that I still got to go to my meeting. And my husband is a great parent, not just, you know, I don't know. I have this thing with everyone thinking that if dads do anything more than the average dad, it should be, you know, awarded. But it is crazy that when I got to my meeting, they're like, he went with him? Oh my gosh.
It's the little things, and teamwork makes the dream work too. I love it.
It does. It does. In all areas of life.
The kids in the kitchen, because I always get that update from you. It's Millie and Sunny now. Let's see. Last year, I checked in on our conversation last year, and Millie was making avocado toast at this time last year, and Sunny was making his own egg. So where have things progressed in the last 12 months with them in the kitchen?
Oh, they are so bossy in the kitchen. They make requests. My husband, you know, we used to say, oh, we're not going to make different things than what we're eating. But yep, we'll make them certain things that they're craving because we're the same way. We're such foodies. So if we're making like a pink sauce pasta and Millie asks her dad, but I really was hoping you were going to make white sauce. And Sunny will say, I thought you were going to do pistachio pesto. And then before we know it, they're both in the kitchen and we're doing three different types of pastas. So they love to be in the kitchen. I swear, getting one of those learning towers, those toddler stools for kids that are like six and under, it's key. It's amazing. We keep it by the sink so they can jump up there, wash their hands, and then they're right on the island and I can give them tasks. And I say this all the time, but you know, we underestimate what our children are capable of. And it's so cool when I know that I can trust my daughter to use her kid knives to help me slice up cucumbers, or my son can help me measure things. So we definitely love to be in the kitchen together.
That's awesome. More on a more lighthearted note, what's maybe the funniest thing that they're doing right now? I just got to see one of my nephews for the first time in about a year, and he's just obsessed with the entire concept of hide and seek. Absolutely every aspect of it just makes him burst out laughing. What are they enjoying right now?
Oh man. Okay. Well, one thing that my son can't stop doing is bathroom talk.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes. Boys and their poo poo and pee pee.
Oh my gosh. But the funny thing is, so we say, you know, bathroom talk is for the bathroom. We don't need to talk about it all the time because it gets excessive. It's like everything is poop. So what makes that funny though is when I'm by myself and I bring the kids to Costco or Target and we go to the ladies' room, as soon as we open the door, my son wants to hear the word poop echo. So he'll be like, poop, poop, poop. And I'll say, Sonny, inside voice, or we don't need to talk about that. And he says, well, it's bathroom talk and we're in a bathroom. So that's their thing. And it's really embarrassing, but also what can you do?
Nope. That honestly appreciate it there. Good answer. One really cool trip that you took as a family that I saw, was to Lake Tahoe. You got to go, which is a beautiful place. They have some awesome celebrity events that I see there over the course of the years, but, tell me about the trip and what might've been the clearest water I've seen in a long time on Instagram as well.
Oh, have you been, Alex?
I have not. No. Yeah.
Okay. For everyone listening, you have to put Tahoe on your bucket list. It lived up to every single expectation anyone had ever said. It is like the largest body of water in, you know, a glacier water or something in the U.S.
Yeah,
or
probably
even
continental
North
U.S.
America.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is beautiful. We had the best time. We stayed at like this little small hole in the wall place that was right on the water in the North Lake. And we both have stand-up paddle boards, and our kids could like sit in the front or sit in the back. So we would take both of our children, 5 and 3, onto the lake. And I think what's really cool about Lake Tahoe is the water is so clear. It reminds me of Thailand or the Philippines. It's super green, but also it is so shallow for like 500 feet. So you know, people can be like waist deep so far out into the lake.
That's neat.
Which makes it really fun. Yeah. So you can, you know, that the stress of it just dropping off to 10 feet, you really have to walk like 2 football lengths. So we loved that aspect of it. There was some amazing food in Tahoe, but also I think just getting out of our surroundings here in Los Angeles and going somewhere else was awesome. It's a really special place. I mean, when I was there, I decided like, this is somewhere we have to come every single year because it is just spectacular. The nature and the sights and the smells and that water is, it's gorgeous.
It is quite a spectacle. Yeah. Every summer they have like a celebrity golf tournament there and people pull their boats up alongside the course. And it's just such a spectacle with the snow-capped mountains in the background.
You have to go.
Yeah.
You have to go.
It's on my list. Definitely. And it's okay. Brandy Malloy on Instagram for those who want to follow and check those pictures out from her trip. Let's get to it now. The stuff that everyone wants to hear about, all things food, as we head into the holiday season now, as people are listening, it's November. Okay. So obviously you started off your holiday season the way you do every year. It feels like annual tradition. You and your collaboration with World Market, you did the holiday shoot with them. Tell everyone what went down with your World Market friends there.
Yeah. I'm so grateful to be the spokesperson for World Market, and I've been with them for about 8 years. So I do all of their commercials and a lot of video content for them. And it is so much fun. This past holiday commercial, I kind of pitched the entire concept. One great thing about World Market is they have a ton of global influence. So they have global decor, global gourmet foods. There's people that work at World Market that work with small purveyors in Italy, in Thailand, to source really cool, special food and furniture and everything. Every single product at that store has an incredible story. So one of my favorite things to do at World Market is to shop their gourmet food. So the video commercial was about how you can walk into the store and create an entire experience and put it all into a basket. And when you gift that to someone, it's not just some charcuterie and some artichoke bruschetta and a really cool board. You're really giving them an experience where they can make these family moments and you're fostering that togetherness and that memory. And so I created these really cool gift baskets. One was featuring like an entire hot cocoa bar. The other one was for that person that has the sweet tooth or loves to bake. But I get lost in that store every single time, just perusing all of the cool foods and beers and wines and candies and condiments and sauces and spices. So it was a really fun shoot, but it always happens around October, which is hilarious because then I have a Christmas tree up in my house and everything's ready for Christmas. But I think I told you this last year, I take everything down because I really want to just enjoy the holidays as they come.
Yeah. Fast, right. How many minutes until you took everything down after everyone left?
Well, I actually had to do some stop motion videos. So it took a couple of days. And you know, when you set something up for a commercial in your home, it really does feel like business and work. So it didn't feel like, even though we had Christmas music playing and all of that, it really felt like it was a shoot. And so I will cherish putting up the Christmas tree with my kiddos next month.
Yeah. And I really love the idea of the gift baskets because that's a gift that extends out for weeks and months on end after the holidays. So it's the kind of the gift that keeps on giving idea. I love that.
Right.
Start with the holidays and go chronologically. Start first with Halloween. It's November now. Halloween just passed. You're always good with the leftover Halloween candy ideas. There's many ways that you can kind of reshape and rethink them. What do you have for us this year?
Man, I mean, I always go back to just tossing it all on some really delicious chocolate and making a Halloween candy bark, especially if you get lucky and you get a whole bunch of gummies. A lot of people have never had the beauty of trying a chocolate covered gummy bear, but it is so delicious. I keep this bark in the fridge or the freezer and it's out of control. Another thing that I ended up doing is melting down a lot of the different chocolate and putting it into little mini muffin cups. So the liners, the cupcake liners. And I almost used that melted down chocolate as a base for any other peanut butter cup or almond butter cup that you want. And then another thing is, I mean, I usually just take the stuff that I like and give away the stuff that I don't like. And I tell my kids that, oh, you know, I think all the candy disappeared because that's what the magic's about. It disappears and we'll come back for Halloween.
Love it. Yeah, that's creative. I appreciate the mini muffin tin idea as well, too, for the repurposed, rethought candy. I love that.
It's really cool.
Definitely. One trend that I think is going to apply for my Thanksgiving, which we'll get to in a second, but I need to get this trend out of the way. The butter board trend. For those who haven't seen this in recent months, it's kind of taken the internet by storm. Let's get into a little board talk real quick with Brandy Malloy. Tell me about the butter board trend, where you first heard about it, and your go at it as well, too.
These food trends are always starting online. And right now it's TikTok. Then it makes its way to Instagram. And then after Instagram, you usually see it on Facebook. I've been seeing even local news covering food trends. The butterboard is genius because you basically take room temperature, high quality butter, and you kind of smear it onto our charcuterie board. You can make fun little tulip designs, or you can just smear it around. And then you're basically making like a deconstructed compote butter. So I made this really cool butter board and I did a little bit of spicy Mike's hot honey, some thyme, lemon zest, a little bit of salt, and then around the butter board, all the things you would want to smear it in. So some really great baguette, radishes, which pair really nice with butter, crackers. Okay. But now people are using this trend and they're like, wait a second, what about an almond butter board or a peanut butter board or a frosting board? So it's the same idea. You just frost your board with the frosting and then all the fun things you would want, like slices of angel food cake or little cookies and crackers. And I always love the salty sweet or the spicy and sweet. So always keep that in mind when you're coming up with those boards, because anytime you have opposing flavors, it's always going to be a really awesome combo.
Yes. And I was a little intimidated by the idea of maybe creating several different butters, but I kind of like the way you went about it. So I'm going to have to give this a go soon and report back.
Good. And do it when you're hosting. There's nothing better than doing something like that for guests and seeing the reaction from more than your wife or anything.
Yeah, so this was my thought, actually. Great segue to cheese boards, aka charcuterie. I'm going to say you're maybe one of the queens of charcuterie on Instagram. I'll give you that title.
Because you
put together a lot of cool little charcuterie boards, and I'm thinking about doing it for Thanksgiving. It's something I haven't done for Thanksgiving yet, but I think I want to add it to the appetizer list. So tell me about good cheese board ideas that you've created recently and what you might like for a Thanksgiving cheese board.
Oh, I love a good cheese board. And now it's almost like a grazing board. I mean, this is the secret to getting every single person to talk to each other, to congregate, to actually, have conversations. So I think the key to a really good charcuterie board is at least three different cheeses. You want to do a nice hard cheese. I love a sharp white cheddar. I always do a spicy cheese, because I just love spice, so a pepper jack, and then a soft cheese, so a brie or a camembert. And then after that, you can really have fun. You can add a goat cheese, you can add a Gouda cheese or a smoky cheese. So at least three different cheeses.
Yeah.
And then I think something that people forget is you don't need a mass quantity amount of this. You don't need to go to Costco and spend $100 on cheeses and fruits and vegetables and crackers. You'd be surprised if you have like a can of peanuts or mixed nuts, you might only need like a couple handfuls on your board. I love shopping my pantry. I love shopping the fridge and thinking, oh, I could just put like a handful of olives in a cute little bowl, or I have some spicy peppers I could add, or just a little dollop of jam that will go right beside the brie to remind people that those pair nicely together. And then at least a couple of different types of vessels, carrying vessels, like the vehicle for this. So whether it's like a cracker and a bread or a toast or a pretzel. And then what I've noticed, and this is actually one of the food trends I wanted to talk to you about, I've noticed more and more people eating less and less meat on the board. So if you want a prosciutto, do it. If you want to have a salami, do it. But don't forget all the other cool like toppings that you can include, like half of a jar of hummus or a really awesome bruschetta. World Market actually has a ton of just jarred different artichoke bruschetta, tomato bruschetta, and olive tapenade.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with those.
Sauce, yeah. Which I talk about a lot because I love that stuff. So, you know, have fun with it because I think the beauty of a cheese board is a variety. So if you want to have a cool cheese board, have a variety of things, a ton of different things, but not a lot of them. And then some of the amazing finishing touches to make it really look like a pro is adding some fresh herbs. So adding a couple of sprigs of rosemary or thyme, kind of peeking through edible flowers if they're around, or really unique fruits like figs or pomegranates, things that people aren't used to. And for Thanksgiving, I think some little mini pumpkins would be adorable on your board.
Oh, yes. That's a good touch. That'll definitely make the reel pop on Instagram for sure. Nice. Let's continue talking a little bit about the holidays and food trends. We had a lot of cocoa bomb talk, hot cocoa bombs last year. Any fun sweet trends for the holidays or specific sweets that you're seeing a lot more in popularity of?
You know what I'm seeing a lot of, Alex, is drinks and not alcoholic drinks. I am seeing a ton of different really delicious hot and cold beverages. So the cold beverages, I guess, are more like mocktails, but I'm talking people are getting pomegranate purees and a sparkling water and adding a little bit of ginger syrup and making
some seasonal mocktails are kind of for everyone, I guess.
Yeah, nice. Making signature cocktails or mocktails that have no alcohol in them. But I think what's cool is when you're hosting, what sets a really great themed party apart or a holiday party apart from the others is those little details. Having a signature punch that people enjoy and find different. And you can really do a lot with just a few ingredients, a juice, some type of sparkling water or a sparkling ginger beer, and then another cool ingredient like the ginger syrup or peach puree or something. So I'm seeing a lot of that, but I'm also seeing a lot of the whole just to kind of play off the hot cocoa bombs, hot cocoa bars, and also just cold weather drinks. So pumpkin lattes, but people are making like cinnamon roll lattes and liquid chocolate drinks, hot cocoa with blackberries. Like, I think what we're going to see a lot of this winter and into the new year is all sorts of different coffee, chocolate, tea, London fog kind of teas, different cold and hot drinks that have tons of different flavor. So no longer are you going to think, oh, I'm going to have some apple cider and I'll have some hot cocoa. No, people are like, let's make something really crazy, like a butterscotch hot cocoa or a peppermint mocha with a spicy Mexican orange hot cocoa. Like, the flavors that I've been seeing that people are making at restaurants and online is pretty fun and crazy. So I think you can play a lot with beverages.
Yeah, I feel like that speaks to just a more general thing that's happening in the food and beverage world in general. Everything has flavors now, right? Like, alcohol brands that you know have seven different fruit flavors of their beverage. It's like it really never ends, and it's going to transcend over to holiday drinks. I'm not mad at that at all. I'm just stating the record of how things have changed. Nice. And I know I got to ask quickly. I know you're a creature of habit on Thanksgiving. You love the usuals and you need your certain things there. But what's your favorite side dish to make on Thanksgiving that someone might want to try this year?
Oh, my slow cooker mashed potatoes. And I believe this recipe is on my site, brandymalloy.com. If it's not, I will make sure it is up ASAP. I think mashed potatoes, I mean, gosh, there's so many ways to do them, but I feel like it's one of those dishes where they're either good or bad. And my mashed potatoes are always good. And the reason why is my secret ingredient is cream cheese and using the slow cooker to my benefit. So, you know, the thing about Thanksgiving is everyone's so busy. You're in the kitchen. People avoid making certain things because they're just exhausted or they do a lot of prep, but
that's
then
me.
They sacrifice the flavor. So my slow cooker mashed potatoes are delicious. They're simple. You can make them loaded if you want. You can add the bacon and the chives and the sour cream, but it's kind of great that it doesn't take up real estate in your oven. You can pop those potatoes in the night before. You can actually cook them down with a little bit of milk or cream, but to give them that rich, delicious, creamy flavor is the cream cheese. And then I mash them up directly in the slow cooker. And if you haven't used the hack where you use a hand mixer, you can also do that as well, because I love my mashed potatoes, whippity whipped, super buttery, super creamy, and there's nothing else like it.
And you get the arm workout too, as well, to go with it.
yeah, you do.
Nice. Again, it's at Brandy Malloy on Instagram. If you're not following already, be sure you do. Check out BrandyMalloy.com. Let's get to some quick shot questions, just recapping everything you have going on in the past year since we last caught up. I'll give you the congratulations again. Congrats on 6 years of marriage to Mr. A. You went to Nobu in Malibu, a world famous restaurant location on the water there. Tell me everything. And what were your favorite dishes?
You know what, Alex? Nobu does not get enough credit. People like to mask Nobu as it's like this place that people go to spot celebrities. Mm. And yes, a lot of celebrities go to Nobu. But I am telling you, every time we go, the quality of the food, the flavor of the food, and the service, you can't beat it. It's right on the water. Where do I begin? Okay. One of their most famous bites is this miso cod. And if your server is a great server, he or she will tell you, get the entree portion, but have them make them into lettuce cups. So they will take that beautiful piece of fish that is so tender and unctuous and rich and light all at the same time. And they will put it into these adorable little butter lettuce cups. So you have like four lettuce cups between the two of you. Wow. One dish that's spectacular that I've never seen anywhere is shaved artichoke salad with a truffle vinaigrette. Because, you know, when we see artichokes, it's usually, you know, you pull the artichoke leaf off, you yep. dip it in some aioli, and then you use your teeth to kind of scrape off the flesh. They make these artichokes, they shave them. And so they're super fine. And the truffle is just delicious. So good. Their cocktails are fantastic. I love passion fruit because I feel like you never see it. And their passion fruit cocktail has the passion fruit puree, the seeds, the juice. It's super bright and zesty and sweet. And then you can't go wrong getting any of their sushi because that's what they're known for. So they have an amazing albacore dish, albacore sashimi, and I don't know what they do to this fish, but it's thinly sliced. It has like fried onions on top, some type of ponzu lime soy sauce that it's kind of floating in. And so you grab the piece of albacore, you grab a little bit of that onion, and yep. you dip it in this zingy dressing. And every bite is fantastic. And that was like, I'm like, we got to go to Nobu. We go once a year. And it's always good. And we go during the day because we like to do day dates. So we're not away from our kids at night. So it's kind of great because the weather's awesome. And it's usually not busy if you go around 11 or noon. So highly recommend.
Very cool. So Nobu, not overrated, very properly rated. I love that.
Exactly. Not overrated.
But a quick recap on the mom vacation. How hard did you go and how much recovery time was needed afterwards?
Oh gosh, Alex, this trip with my mom was pretty hard. Last year we lost my dad unexpectedly.
Yeah.
So it was visiting my dad's family and connecting with them and visiting places that I had grown up, places we had lived when I was little, going to our church that we went to when I was little, seeing his sister and her family. But yeah, I haven't been on a trip with my mom, just my mom and I, and I don't know how long. So it's one of those things where you're like, okay, I love you, but is 4 days our cap? Or could we do yes. one more day? I don't know. But it was nice to be with her. And you know, this has been the hardest year of my life. So I'm glad that I took that time to be with her and to be with my dad's family.
No, great. Always great to connect with family. The color changing lemonade recipe is a fun one for anyone who's got kids out there. Yes. I think it's a real cool food science experiment as well too, that you brought. How does that work and what goes into making that fun little dish for kids?
So this lemonade is really cool. You basically make these blue butterfly pea flower tea ice cubes. It sounds like a mouthful, but basically you buy this tea that is made with these flower petals that when they react with any type of acid like lime or lemon, they go from this bluish purple to a pink. So you basically just make this tea, steep the tea, let it cool and pour it into ice cube trays, put it in the freezer. Don't think about it again. When you make your delicious sun-kissed lemonade using my recipe with honey and water, you do is you put regular ice in your Collins glass and top it with one of those magical ice cubes and then slowly pour in that lemonade that has the lemon, has the acid. And as you're pouring that liquid in, it reacts with the cube and you watch it go from blue to purple to pink. And let me tell you, you can make this as an adult cocktail. So it's a really cool party trick. It's a great trick if you're hosting play dates and you want to kind of show off. And once you make a batch of those ice cubes, they last forever. I mean, I did two trays and they're just in my freezer whenever I kind of want to pull out a little, you know, card to show people like, look at me. I know how to make this really cool color changing lemonade.
Very neat. I love that. A cool science experiment for the foodies and drink lovers of all ages, indeed. And let's wrap with a holiday question. Maybe it was a movie that you got from your mother and your father when you were younger, but what's a go-to holiday movie that has to be watched at the family house this holiday season?
I mean, Elf, Home Alone. I mean, I'm basic and I'm proud of it. Those are definitely two that have to, you know, started December 1st. We have to watch them at least a couple times. But you know, a movie that I love that is so underrated. And if anyone is listening and you like this movie just as much as me, we need to be friends. Find me online. Is The Family Man with Nicolas Cage. That is a movie that I just love. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have in clips. My wife has watched it at least a few times. I've definitely seen it on in the last couple of years as well, too.
I love it. I mean, it basically is just the story of the guy that gets to see, like, you know, what his life would and wouldn't be like without his family. And
gosh, you're killing me right now. I'm just thinking about it. Yeah,
it's good. It's gut wrenching, but also beautiful. And I think for me, when I think about the holidays, it really is about family and whoever you call family. That's who matters. And it's such a beautiful day to appreciate that. So it is one of those movies that reminds you what's important in life.
Love it. Well said, Brandy. Brandy, you're part of our Course of Life podcast family. So again, we wish you happy holidays and best of luck with all the content and everything with your family as well, too.
Thank you so much.
And we're back. Great chat there with Brandy. Always great to hear her suggestions and things to do and different mashed potatoes. And
yes,
you know, I'm starting to think about the Thanksgiving menu now, too.
Got my taste buds salivating right there. Yeah. The mashed potatoes, too. Well, what's your potato stance? What are you looking at for Thanksgiving this year? I'll give you a tease.
I don't know yet because I'm like just starting to think about it. I don't usually do a mashed potato because the wife's not a fan of mashed potatoes. But I don't know if I'll do a mashed potato or maybe I'll do like a, I'm completely blanking on the actual name of the dish.
Well, typically when I go potatoes, I usually go like roasted fingerlings or like roasted red and white potatoes or something like that.
I could do, I remember, a potato gratin. So your thin sliced potatoes, and like get kind of layered up with your cream and cheese and everything. That's decadent.
That was a way to go. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to get to more of that. We'll put a cap in that because we'll start next week on the Thanksgiving preview officially. But I hope you like that with Brandy there because those were awesome holiday food tips, tricks, trends, and everything in between. If you do like that or any other conversation or part of this episode you heard, be sure to follow, subscribe. We're on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, you name it. And be sure to click that subscribe button wherever you're listening right now as well.
All right. Let's talk college football. Once again, Alex, just 5-5 in your picks and your run your pool or in your, well, 5-5 overall in your picks, your run your pool article.
Yeah, just kind of treading water here through 9 weeks, getting into the grind. It's tough right now. I've had a lot of close calls and some bad beats, lost the Cal cover by a half a point, which made me 2-3 instead of 3-2. But what we got to get to, Mike, this is your big moment right here. You've talked about your Tennessee Volunteer bandwagon status. Yep. You reside in the state of Georgia, and the headline of this week is that we have number one versus number two, Tennessee versus Georgia in Athens. What are your thoughts on that one there?
Is this do you think this is a preview of the national championship game?
I wrote that in my article this week. I said, is this a November prelude to a January playoff game? Very, very well might be.
This is big. This is huge game.
It is.
Huge
game. Georgia 8-9 point favorites. I'm going under 66. There's one of my plays, but check out the article and my runyourpool.com preview for the full betting preview. That's obviously the highlight. That'll be appointment television on Saturday. Yeah.
Let's talk the NFL as well. You're on your pool picks. You went 1-4. Awfully terrible there.
Awfully
I don't know
terrible.
What
yeah.
you were thinking.
Well put. Yeah.
But when we look at though the our favorite teams, we have a little flip this week, I feel like.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. So your Patriots behind Mac Jones. Won a game.
This is a weird spot, Mike. I haven't been this fan because I was spoiled with the perfect quarterback for two decades. I'm in that strange spot where I'm rooting for my quarterback, but I also wouldn't hate it if he threw a couple picks and got benched for the other quarterback I might like more. I haven't had this emotion in a long time, so it's a very new sensation for me.
Yeah, but I mean, they won. It wasn't pretty, but they beat the Jets.
They did.
The Jets.
Yeah, 4-4. 4-4 is dead last in the AFC East right now through eight games. So tough times in the AFC East. But
yeah. So both New York teams that actually play in New Jersey lost because my Giants lost as well.
The shoe did finally drop. Not to say I don't think there's still going to be a competitive and to good NFL team this season, but we were wondering when the loss was going to happen. It was like they just couldn't be this hot for this long. Regardless, you're still 6-2. You did drop on the Seahawks though.
When are the freaking Eagles going to lose?
Crazy that they're still the last unbeaten in the NFL. Jalen Hurts has had maybe the biggest season to season transformation I've seen in a long time from a quarterback in the NFL. You know, I don't know how much of him you even saw last season, but he grew an amazing arm in the offseason and he's turned into a whole other player. So shout out to them for keeping this going as long as they have.
So the Eagles are undefeated, and of course their brethren, the Philadelphia Phillies, are playing the Astros in the World Series. Someone reminded me, by the way, that every time the Phillies win the World Series, the economy goes into a recession.
Oh, great. What a little tidbit that is.
While I am still rooting for the Phillies, I am now slightly hesitant.
Oh, so you're pro Phillies and anti-recession? Are you allowed to hold those two same opinions at the same time?
I think we're all anti-recession, though. If you listen to the economists out there, they all seem to suggest that a recession is on the horizon. So,
well, we can't comment on the series much because it's very deep into the game as we talk this week. But what we can comment on is something you sent me on Twitter, which I assumed at first was just an old video from maybe 2017 or like 2018 or something. But this was from this series. Mike, what did you send me?
Yeah, pretty much Framber Valdez, the starting pitcher for the Astros, had a whole lot of pine tar on him and seemed to be continually going to his wrist before touching the ball with his thumb and kind of like going to his wrist and then going to the ball and going to his wrist and then going to the ball.
Yeah, and for those at home, it's the quick cheating method to say, I'm going to put this substance and sneak it on the ball and the ball is going to spin and act funny when I throw it, basically. Make
Vaseline,
it harder.
That's pine tar. Yeah. Something like that. And then we also had from game one, we also had Martin Maldonado using a illegal bat that some players from pre-2011 were allowed to use. But Maldonado, who was using this bat that was given to him by Albert Pujols, is not allowed to use.
Interesting tidbit given by Albert Pujols there.
So it seems like the Astros continue to enjoy cheating.
So corked bat pine tar is what I'm hearing right now in the World Series. That like happening. These are actual headlines.
We'll go all out. Not pine tar, Vaseline. We're gonna call it Vaseline.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So once again, the Astros cheating right and left. So there you go. Let's hashtag always end with
food. Let's do it. It's our food segment to end every Course of Life podcast. Follow Always End with Food on Instagram. Had a fun little food challenge this weekend for a limited time. My go-to burger spot here in Austin, P. Terry's, was doing a little secret menu item called the P. Scary Burger, Mike. Brace yourself and hold on to your heart as I describe what went into this. This was four beef patties, four slices of cheese, two strips of bacon, extra pickles, extra onions, an entire bottom layer of diced jalapenos and special sauce. I made it through about 80%, which I thought was pretty impressive. Heart attack on a plate and definitely a very scary burger to eat. I'd give it maybe an 8.2 out of 10.
Was this cheddar or was it like a jalapeno cheddar? Was it?
No, just the straight original orange cheddar. It's basically just a heart attack on a plate. That's the scary part of the piece, Gary, I think was.
I will say I'm disappointed with four patties to only get two strips of bacon.
There could have been more. I argue there could have been more, but it was a meat lover's feast. So that was my Halloween decadence this past week.
Yeah. I'm actually not going to talk about something I made this weekend. I will quickly say I did make a cinnamon and chocolate chip babka, which is fantastic. But instead, we're going to talk about how on Thursday I'm going to get on a jet plane. I'm going to fly to New Orleans for the New Orleans Film Festival this weekend.
Let's talk New Orleans food. What are your thoughts? What's your timeline and what can you get in, really?
So I really got 2 days there. Okay. I got Friday and Saturday, and that's it. Friday morning looks pretty open. Right now. Okay. So
there's going to be time to go eat there.
Well, beignet or some sort of bakery because, I work in a bakery and they're all telling me where to go. So there's going to be that.
And then Mother's is my breakfast suggestion if you do make it there as well.
Okay. The rest of the other days, we don't have a ton of time. Maybe we'll see what we're actually going to go see and everything during those days. Cause we're trying to map out that schedule at this point. They don't really give you a ton of time to go like eat. Because of the way the screenings are kind of stacked.
Got it.
But I feel like at some point I gotta go somewhere and get red beans and rice. I feel like at some point.
Yeah. And I guess rapid fire decision here. If you had to get one, would you go find oysters or get like a shrimp po' boy at a restaurant?
Oh, shrimp po' boy.
Yeah. So I think you might want to find one of those too. That would be a quintessential New Orleans item. I'd try and find some point during the weekend. So.
It would be so, but look on my Instagram. I'm going to ask people for recommendations on there as well as where I should go. I'm at MWRINC on Instagram. So, or you can find me on Twitter there as well. MWRINC. Tell me where to go to get food in New Orleans and what I should be enjoying out there. And we'll report back next week and I'll kind of post some pics on my Instagram as well. We'll put them on Always In With Food too. So
love it. Sounds good. Look forward to the content. Thank you to everyone for tuning in to Always In With Food and Course of Life. Follow us at COL Podcast on Instagram. Everyone have a great week. We'll see you next week.